Blog Talk Radio. Nothing like starting a show with a little dance break. Good evening, everyone. This is Madam Perry, or Jennifer Perry. Welcome to Madam Perry Salon, and I'm so glad to have you here. If you're new, if you're listening live tonight on the 20th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, or GMT minus 5, then please click the follow button there. You don't have to, but it would make me happy. And why should you make me happy? Because I know some of the most fascinating people, very fortunate, and I bring them all to you for your entertainment, for your listening pleasures, and what are the kind of pleasures they offer. Some have things that you can read, things you can listen to, whatever shows. I just know some fun people. Now, I've got my first guest, I think, is almost here. I think I hear her outside. Actually, she's the main guest for tonight. You're going to love her. You might have heard her on the show with me back last fall when we were talking about sex and the Josh Duggar scandal and all that. But tonight, it's going to be a little different, a little more of her stuff. But I think she's, let me see if my doorman has let her in yet. Just a moment.
General quarters. Security, condition 3.
GQ, security 3, sir. General quarters 3, intruder alert.
I don't think we have an intruder.
Intruder alert.
It's my guest. It's not oh, never mind. Susie Parker, is that you? Did you get past my doorman?
I did. I was slick.
Good.
I did get past him.
I know. You are slick. Sly, slick, and wicked. I think you are. That was actually the name of a hair salon around Atlanta at one time. Sly, slick, and wicked.
Oh, I needed to go there.
I'm sure you do. Welcome to Madam Perry Salon. Now, you know, Susie, since you've been here before, people always say, especially Robert Leland Taylor says, it looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle here. So, you know, you're familiar with the layout. Just go ahead and get you a couple of big cushions to sit on. And, do you like what I've done to the place?
I'm sorry, you cut out. What was that?
Robert Leland Taylor said it looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle in here. So I said, do you like what I've done with the place? Grab you a couple of cushions.
I do. I like Jeannie bottles. They're magical.
Good. And the beaded curtains and all. I'm into that 60s vibe still. So.
It's very Coachella.
Coachella.
you know, the music festival, everything is very hippie and beaded curtains. So I read.
Oh, gosh. Hey, listen. You know, one of the things I found about you, now we're going to talk about your hot new novel that I am reading and loving right now. It's called Echo Ellis, Adventures of a Girl Reporter. I absolutely love it. You know why? Because I love film noir. I love
Me
the tough talking dames with a heart of gold, and it's in a modern woman, you know, just that kind of sharpness and sassiness and stuff that, just that keen eye on things, and I love it. But I was reading too. This was something off of something I read about you online. It says a couple of years ago, the name Susie Parker was being whispered under dryers in beauty salons or doing cocktails at country clubs. Her article, Jeannie in the Bottle, a sex drink that's rocking Little Rock, for Nerve.com, has been picked up by the wire service, and every woman was dying to get her hands on Niagara, the blue aphrodisiac bottle drink. Girl. Oh, yes. And a little further, it says the exposure had negative and positive effects on freelance writer Susie Parker, but the one clear conclusion was that Susie has a talent for uncovering the hidden kinky side of the nation's premier sexual hothouse. Susie frequently covers Southern politics in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Georgia. Well, Ms. Parker, what do you have to say for yourself?
What can I say? Yeah, it's all true. I did get in hot water for writing about sex. It's kind of now I guess it's time I claim to fame. Writing that article led to my book, Sex in the South, which I hope will actually come out as an ebook later this year. It's never been an ebook, so hopefully it will happen later this year. And
it'll be a waterproof book too. You know, I remember seeing
you know, it could be.
Years ago, I saw this in Borders. That shows you how long ago it was. But it was a book. They had it inside of a fishbowl of water because they said it was some kind of a porn thing for people to read in the bathtub, so it was waterproof in case you dropped it or something. So,
you know, what's funny is for a long time, that book here in Little Rock was like the number one book that the sales clerks would find in the men's bathroom at Barnes & Noble. So I was told. So, yeah, maybe I need to make it waterproof. Wrap it in saran wrap.
But your new book that I love, your novel, is Echo Ellis, Adventures of a Girl Reporter, and I am loving this book. I think I keep posting up little quotes from it on Facebook with things like, what is it, in my line of work, Schadenfreude pays the rent.
Right, because she loves gloom and doom, plane crashes, political scandals, those kind of things, you know, crime scenes, pay her rent because it gives her something to write about. Like many reporters.
Who is Echo Ellis?
Who is Echo Ellis? She is a character I created many, many years ago. At least 10, 12 years ago, this character came to me. I would say actually probably more like 20 years ago when I was working on on some stories, and I realized that, I grew up reading Nancy Drew books, so I always wanted to write a Nancy Drew type of novel, you know, where the girl is trying to find, you know, solve the mystery. I love mysteries, and especially Nancy Drew, but Nancy Drew was a little clean cut and a little straight edge, but I also grew up reading Jackie Collins books, so I thought ideally someday I would meld the two into something, and, when I was working on a lot of political stories, I realized that, you know, when a reporter or a journalist writes a story, you just read kind of the facts and all. But the story leading into how you get the big scoop is often more fascinating. The people you meet along the way that you don't quote or how a story unravels is very mystery-like because one source will lead to another. And so I thought that would be a really kind of cool idea to write a book about a reporter who's always on the hunt for the next big scoop. While solving some mystery, but also like the character she meets along the way and how the big story unfolds. And so hence Echo Ellis. And she's a tough talking, sassy, kind of kick-ass heroine, I think. I hope.
She is. And it's not fake and it's not posturing. And I got to tell you, I don't really care for the shows or the characters. They put them out just as total smartasses, like smartass is supposed to translate into, you know, savvy or intelligent. You know, Echo's got more substance than that.
Yeah, but she's a little sarcastic, but she's not overly, you know, it's not a character you're just going to, like, despise or hate at all. You know, she's savvy and she's pretty witty. And, yeah.
When she's... Now, I do like the fact when she went to meet this guy, Dash, at a bar,
mm-hmm.
you know, after she got all her scoop about him and everything and got the background, you know, she did send a quick text to a friend of hers saying where she was going to be, what time, who she was meeting, just in case.
Yes.
And saying, you know, wheels can fall off. Because, you know, I read just about every true crime book that comes out. And Diane Fanning and Catherine Casey have both been on the show a couple of times. You know, they write great books. And I always think, you know, somebody could let somebody know where they're going sometime, you know, or somebody, there's always something where somebody knows what could happen or what kind of person could kill. You know, unless somebody knows where you are.
Right. As a reporter, you kind of, especially if you're being a source, you know, for the first time, you do kind of want someone to know, hey, I'm going to go meet this person at, you know, some bar, some, you know, museum or wherever you're going to meet this person, coffee shop. Yeah, so it is kind of realistic in that way. You know, it's based in reality. And Echo may be a little like me or a lot like me. It just kind of depends. She may be my alter ego, just a little bit.
I was going to ask, but I wasn't sure if you'd really tell me, you know. I just wasn't quite sure if you would, or how much you wanted to let out.
Yeah, she's a little braver than me. She kind of lives more of a superhero life. She's got some skills that that I don't have, such as she's very good with the martial arts. But she is brain-wise maybe a little like me, reporter-wise for sure.
Do you have stories that you've written or things that you felt like you've had to hold back from publishing that you've put in there, with Echo?
Yes, there's a lot of that in this book. A lot of politicians I've met along the way, scandals I've known about that either I was told off the record about to not write about, you know, can never get enough sources on the record to actually fully report stories. Living in the South, I'm sure this is the case everywhere, but having grown up and mm-hmm. lived in Arkansas my whole life, but I think the South is a little more, you know, we have a lot more political scandals. We have, you know, we're in the Bible Belt. So.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I lost you for just a moment. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we always have these scandals that revolve around, you know, religion, like the Alabama governor recently was in that sex scandal. We have those kind of scandals, and then we have kind of deep, dark Southern Gothic mysteries that often don't see the light of day. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here that was in notebooks that I could never use that appear in Echo Ellis.
Yeah, that's one of the things I remember when I read Another City Not My Own by Dominic Dunn, and I think that's when I was in school studying journalism, and they said, and my professor said, you know, that's because you can't always tell every story. You know, there could be, you know, liabilities, lawsuits, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this way you create the novel like that, and it's still the same stories, or some of the Truman Capote, Romana Clefs, like Unanswered Prayers, you know,
right.
Where people are
trying
to figure
yes.
out who it all is, you know, in there.
Yes. Yes, I was at the Arkansas Literary Festival this past weekend, and people were asking me, because this book is set in Arkansas, it's set in Little Rock, the Arkansas Delta and the Mississippi Delta, and people kept trying to ask me, people who have read the book, you know, who this one politician is or who this character is. Are they based on people here? You know, would they know these people? They may or may not. Yeah, for liability reasons, I'll just say they may or may not. I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's always your answer.
That's always my answer.
Okay. Because I remember when, you know, with my jazz band, sometimes we, you know, people would ask for a certain song, and the keyboard player would say, send that up here on a D20 note.
Exactly.
If you
exactly
if something he didn't want to play, put it up here on a D20 note, and maybe I'll play it, you know. Oh, no.
That's
it.
Right.
You know.
That's
so
right.
You know, have like a D50 and a D100 form or something, G notice. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to talk you into doing anything. You know, just saying.
No, that's brilliant.
So, yes,
that's brilliant.
So you were at the Arkansas Literary Festival last week, and you had a pretty successful week, from what I hear.
I did. I had two panels. One on Southern writing, Dixie Secrets, it was called. That was the theme, with another author, and then I was on another panel about being an Arkansas author. And I was also listed on the Arkansas Readers Map, and you can go online and check that out at arkansasreadersmap.com. And my book, Sex in the South, landed me on this prestigious Arkansas literary map. So I'm a little proud of that, considering
nice.
I got in so much trouble for writing that book. So it's kind of ironic, and kind of ironic a little bit, that that's the book that would land me on this prestigious literary map. Sex.
See.
People love
are.
Sex, though, so, yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Don't they?
They do.
So, yeah.
They do. Whether they want to admit it or not, yes, they do.
It sells. That's right. So how does your family feel about you writing about that, coming from, I mean, I don't know what kind of family you have, but I know your mother and you are very close.
Yes, yes. My mother and I are very close, and I'm an only child, and my parents, my dad passed away in 2009, but they were very supportive of, they've always been very supportive of my writing. I've never been censored. They've never, even if they've disapproved, they've never said they've disapproved. And my mom's actually become more liberal and open-minded as she's gotten older, which is saying something because she was pretty open-minded before. But she's kind of a little more less conservative, is not the word, just a little more open-minded, more curious, I guess, as she's gotten older. My dad never read Sex in the South. He refused to read it. So he never read it. My mom edited it, so she knows everything in that book, to the point where people ask her if she's read, you know, wants to read it again. She's like, no, I don't want to read it again. Only because she edited it like 50 times. She was my number one proofreader on that book. So they've always been very supportive of me. I'm lucky in that regard. And so other members of my family, I'd have to say, maybe look at me a little like, you're writing what? But then when they read it, they love it. And then they're like, are you going to write more about sex? So the conservative side of my family are a little like gun-shy, but then they want to read more. So so that's the South for you.
I was wondering, has there ever been a case where you know that they want to read it, so they want to go buy it, but not let you know they bought it. But then again, I could get it free because she's my relative, but I hate to ask for it.
Yeah, I think a few have thought that, but I'm always like, hey, I've got to eat too. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I occasionally give away some free books here and there. But, yeah, I'm always about, hey, you know, I have to pay the plumber and I have to pay rent and, you know, yeah.
I know. It's the same thing with the jazz band. When people would say, once you do it for exposure, you know, I can't pay, but it'll be exposure. I go, exposure. Isn't that something you can die from or get arrested for?
Yeah, or, exactly.
Something.
My relatives have been pretty cool about it, I guess, more or less. I'm lucky in that, yeah.
That's very good. Now, any celebrities come at you thinking that you're writing about them, or has anybody ever contacted you? I mean,
well, I cover more politics than I do celebrity kind of things. So lots of politicians. I've covered politics is kind of my day job. I cover politics a lot for The Daily Beast, sometimes for The Economist. I've written for the Christian Science Monitor, The Washington Post, Salon. And so I have more politicians than I do celebrities. However, early on with that story that you read about the love potion, the introduction to the Niagara Blue love potion, Julia Roberts did option that as a movie and kept the option for 2 or 3 years, and then it faded away. So it's open for
really?
Option if anybody wants to option it. And so is Echo Ellis. My dream is for Robert Downey Jr. to option Echo Ellis. That's my dream. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. What, you see Robert as Dash?
No, I don't see him actually in the movie, surprisingly, but he has a production company, and I think he would understand Echo. For some reason, I think he would get the Echo character being edgy and a little sarcastic. I think he seems to, I just kind of, you know, as opposed to like a Brad Pitt or a George Clooney, it's just something about Robert Downey Jr. that I would see him producing it. Maybe not. I can't see him really being a character in it, surprisingly.
But
for some reason, I'm like, I think he would just get Echo.
I think so. I forget. I've got a directory of Hollywood, you know, producers and studios and stuff, and they used to say what they want. So,
Send
it to him. Send it to him.
Yes, I should. I should send it to him.
Yeah.
Yes. If nothing else, maybe he'd be engaged by the cover. I love the cover of Echo.
It's a great cover. You notice that I made the montage with the background as kind of an homage to film noir and Echo Chamber?
Yes, I love that. It's beautiful.
Will you tell us
I love
the
film noir, too.
I didn't know if you thought that was just my house, but it
was. No, but if it was your house, it would be very cool, too.
Tell us what the Echo Chamber is. And then after that, I want you to give us a sample of Echo Ellis.
Okay.
You wouldn't mind reading something, so but tell us what the Echo Chamber is, unless that's going to be in what you read.
Okay, the echo chamber is kind of where she lives. She has this apartment that used to be a photography studio, so that's kind of where she hides out, and that's her her kind of secret place where she does her research and she keeps dossiers on everybody she meets, just about. Google's her best friend, and weird government databases. And she's very curious about people. So, you know, you might not necessarily want to go on a date with Echo, because she probably will know everything about you before she even gets to, you know, through with the appetizer. but the key, this, I hope that, well, it's not even a hope, it is going to happen. I mean, Echo is going to be a series. It's just a matter of finding time to write the next one. This one took me 10 years off and on. But now I've kind of got, you know, that was 10 years of creating, you know, the echo chamber and creating the characters and creating her and figuring out the plot. And but now I think I've got it down, hopefully got it down to an art. And so she'll, one of the things that will happen in future books is that she's always moving, because she's always feels paranoid that someone is watching her, especially after this first big story. So her echo chamber will move from place to place. She'll have to recreate it in every new adventure.
Okay, so if you're going to give us, and I'm thrilled to have that you're going to read to us, will you kind of set up the part you're going to read? Tell us.
I will. I'm going to read from, I think it's the first chapter. Yes. No, it's the... Yes, it's the first chapter. She never knows where she's going to find her next big story. So she goes to a lot of different events, from art shows to rock shows to wine tastings. She's kind of all over the map on events, because she's, you know, always looking for interesting people and the story. And so she is, it's a weekend night, and she's going to a gallery where she meets this mysterious doctor, and mm-hmm. I'm going to just read, and he plays a key role in it. And so I'm going to read, it takes place in Little Rock, the opening scene, which is where I'm based. And so this is, I'm going to pick up to where she's at the art show, and this is told in first person, so she's talking about her city. Twin Peaks in the middle of the Bible Belt. Still, this city offers fascinating and endless opportunities for people watching. You would never guess it, but famous politicos, actors, millionaires, and ambassadors live here. It's not uncommon to see Hillary Clinton one day, Judge Reinhold, yep, the dude from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the next, and maybe Karl Rove another day. In larger cities, people could get by with murder and mayhem in a place that turns a blind eye to shenanigans of the rich and famous. But Little Rock is too small. The existence between any two people in Little Rock, 1 degree. If you put 20 people in a room, usually at least a quarter of them have slept with each other. It makes dating really complex and incredibly awkward. If an STD epidemic ever breaks out here, half the city will need treatment. And do you want me to keep going?
Oh, please.
Okay. So she's at this art gallery, it's owned by these two mysterious Belgians, and one of them's named Gino, and the other one is named Lariska. And so this is where she connects with Gino. Hello again, Gino says. You're the reporter, yes? Yes, Echo Ellis. We met through Carrie, the public relations. I remember, Miss Ellis, he says, smiling and shaking my hand. I couldn't forget someone as beautiful as you. The hat is perfect. Thanks, I say. No, thank you for coming to my art show. Please, put down that sickly red wine and have a glass of champagne. A toast. With that, he hands me a flute of bubbly. May your enemies be lethargic and your lovers energetic, he says, clinking my glass. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. He quickly joins Lariska and the mayor as Mark Bunton, the state's most affluent and influential congressman, struts into the art gallery. He prances around with a willowy blonde, half his 60 years, on his arm. Dressed in the standard Washington uniform, baby suit, white shirt, red patterned tie, Button shakes hands, acting as if the show doubles as a campaign event. The blonde, in a clingy magenta dress, 6 inches above her knee, smiles passively 4 steps behind her date. Lariska shifts from the mayor to Button, while Gino eyes the date in her D-cups. So then And then I'm trying to jump over here so you can hear about Dash, the mysterious doctor.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he comes up soon after that while she's checking out the congressman and trying to figure out what he's up to. Intriguing bracelet, a man's voice says behind me, the horse, the dragon, the tiger, the snake, the rooster. What year are you? A tall, striking man in his 40s with spiky blonde hair and ice blue eyes pierces a look at me. Whoa, this guy is smoking. What year did you say, he asks? I didn't. I'd like to know, he says. Call me an astrology aficionado. His eyes glimmer. I'm losing my voice here. His eyes glimmer with danger. The horse, I say. Do you ride? Bareback, I say jokingly. My kind of woman, he says, holding out his hand. Dash Oxford. He reaches to shake my hand. Yow, pure electricity in that touch. Echo Ellis, I say. All my pleasure, he says. I don't believe I've ever seen you at one of Gino's openings. It's my first time. A virgin, he says, so to speak. Are you a collector, I say, trying to focus on the art? As a matter of fact, I am. I just bought that one, he says, shooting an imaginary gun towards the fuchsia painting. The amoeba, it's a kidney, he says. Oh, yes, I guess I can see that now, I say. Excuse me, he says. As quickly as he appeared, he departs, strolling across the room and glancing back at me for a split second with a wicked grin. He shakes hands with the congressman and hugs the blonde. Now, what is Dash Oxford's story? And, of course, Echo is going to try to figure it out. What is his story?
Oh, I know she is. Since you're about to, and thank you so much for reading it. I love that.
No problem.
So since you're about to lose your voice, I'm going to let you rest it just a moment there. And, you know, not only do I have fascinating guests, as you know, Susie.
I know.
But I've been pretty lucky to have some very, very cool sponsors as well. And there was a podcast, and this is another thing about podcasts, is that podcasters support each other, like a lot of authors do, support each other. And because we don't have competition, we're not on at the same time. You know, you can listen to us whenever you want. So a lot of podcasts, you know, give a little props to each other and a little shout outs and stuff. And last week I was talking about a podcast. It's called Exposing Real Estate, Damn Near Anything Else. And the creator of that podcast and the host is with us right here in the studio. He's on the other side of the cushion from you. His name is Scott Mosley. Scott, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to have you here. I hope the Genie's bottle is comfortable for you.
It's fantastic. Thank you for making it so inviting.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I want you to be comfortable. So your podcast, Exposing Real Estate and Damn Near Anything Else, I just wanted to ask you about, because, you know, I've listened to some episodes of this, and it's I don't think there's another podcast quite like this, not that I've found yet. Tell me about how you created it. What's it about? What was the spark?
So that's a really, interesting question that you would ask it that way. You know, the best way to really kind of define it is by really looking at the title of the podcast and kind of diving a bit deeper into that. So Exposing Real Estate and Damn Near Anything Else. Well, what does that mean? Exposing meaning exposing the unethical things that kind of occur in the real estate industry, because, you know, real estate as an industry is a fractured industry. You have undereducated, money-driven agents and organizations that promote and support unethical practices. So we expose that piece, but it's much more than that, because we expose actually the good that occurs as well in business and in psyche and in life. So many times we spend much more time talking about the damn near anything else than we do about real estate. So real estate is more of the vehicle to get the message out to the masses. So it was born with that thought to expose real estate, but it became much more than that when I kind of storyboarded the idea and when myself and the co-host decided to, with the path that we were going to take with the show and how it grew into something more than that. So,
you're described on your website as an ex-cop turned real estate maverick.
Yes,
that sounds like a character in a TV show.
It does, right? Maybe a book can be written about that. Wink, wink, to our other guest, right? Yeah, and I think, you know, the thing that's interesting there, I think it's because of my, you know, coming from an industry where we do and we uncover and we protect society, it was just a natural transition for me when I got into real estate and decided to do this podcast, and I noticed the unethical things that occur. Well, my cop instincts and my cop ear and the hair on the back of my neck stood up and said, man, this is just not right. 99% of the industry is doing it the wrong way. Because why? They're commission driven. They're not ethically driven by what is the right thing to do for my client, for the customer. Am I really holding their interest above all others? They don't, because they come from that mentality of sales instead of doing the right thing for the client. So I think the natural tie-in, having been a law enforcement officer, tied perfectly into, you know, a fractured industry. So anyway.
We're with you. We're following. Excuse me. Now, you say, when I ask you about the show, you say, well, you can pretty well read the titles. And I don't want to just disagree with you here, Scott, but I read through the titles, you know, with the of your podcast, and I was listening to them. Episode mm-hmm. 2 has to do with integrity, fundamentals. Episode 3, preparing to be your best self. Number 4, subsidies in real estate, NFL. 5, greatest investment is payment and attention. Okay, so these titles, you know, let me know, I would think, what I was going to hear about. And yet, I was listening to one today, and I see this got something to do with The Power of Broke and Damon John's book and
yes.
so forth. Yeah, when I'm listening,
yes.
you and Colin are talking about everything from zombies, B.B. King, Lucille, The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
I'm thinking, well, maybe I got the wrong one. And then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, you're talking about The Power of Broke. Well, you know, Damon John's. And I'm going, okay, I can't even keep up. I'm not even up on these guys' level. You know, I'll still enjoy it, but.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, we like I say, we disguise really what we're trying to deliver, the message we're trying to deliver on, in by way of bringing that in the vehicle of real estate and exposing business. And, you know, like I say, exposing has the two meanings, exposing the bad and also peeling back the layers on things that how you can be a success in your life, how you can be your best every day, how you can start your best every day. So in doing that, we talk about people that have come from the bottom and made it to the top. We talk about successful thought leaders and entrepreneurs and thought provokers and things like that, because it all really can be tied back to any industry that's broken and any person that's broken, because all those things are, we talked about this, there are synchronicities that occur and things that occur throughout people's lives that can be tied in to, again, real estate is a very well-known arena. So people relate to that, and they say, they listen, they say, well, gosh, you know, that is so much like my industry. That is so much like, gosh, even me personally being broken. The topics they're talking about applies to so many things. So it's a way of kind of, the, you know, hiding really what our agenda is really about making you think a bit deeper than what's on the surface. So.
Well, we like that. And your co-host, Colin.
Yes. Phenomenal.
Yeah. What's it? I'm sorry. I forgot his last name.
Sadler. Yes. Colin Sadler.
Very
infectious.
Fun.
We've known each other for over 20 years. And, you know, whenever we're talking about and we're storyboarding the show for the next week, we have many conversations throughout the week, as you would with somebody that you have an infinity connection with, right? So we have those conversations, and many times out of those conversations, the topic of the show or the foundation of the show for the next week is kind of is being laid out. And we build upon that and expand upon that. And I will tell you, when we do our show, I'll have a paper in front of me. And I know you do things probably very similar to kind of keep you on track. If not, you're all over the place, right?
Right.
We'll have bullet points that we want to hit. But we allow the organic conversation to occur. I never edit the show. I never stop it recording. We let it go. Because I think the authenticity storytelling occurs when you do that. Because what is it? People don't want to know stats and data. People don't want to know canned responses. They want to know what makes you tick and what you think, right? So that's what it's about. It's
that's
about
the truth.
Storytelling. Yeah.
That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. Scott, I am so glad you came here to tell us about this in person. It's so much more exciting and rich to hear it from you. But can you tell people how to find you?
Absolutely. You can obviously find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. If you can, you can search by Exposing Real Estate and damn near anything else. You can search by my name. We also, excitingly, got news a couple of days ago. Google Music Play wants to carry the show. We'll be available there as well. Our website, exposingrealestate.com, all the episodes are there. So, yeah, there's many outlets were published out there everywhere to be easily found. So,
sounds good to me. Sounds great to me, actually. All right. And also, you know, I'll be posting on the Madame Perry Salon Facebook page so people can find you too. So I'm so glad you're here. You know, you're welcome to hang out here and talk with us as long as you like.
Oh, I definitely will. I'm enjoying the conversation with Susie and hearing all that. And that was a hard act to follow. It was hard to come in behind that.
She's going to stay with us. Oh, no. I think good. Yeah, she's you and I had talked about her earlier. She has noticed that you have read a lot of her work. So I didn't tell her that ahead of time. But anyway, so stay with me. I've got a couple of other folks to talk about, and then Susie's going to come back with some more cool stuff. I'm just trying to give her a chance to get, you know, rest her voice a little
bit. Sure. Well,
thank you so much.
I'm so sorry. Thank you so very much for having me, and it's been a pleasure. And I love what you do with your show. So thank you.
Thank you. I love yours. I just love the fact that it's like a party too. So stay with me. You can join, and please later on, I'd like for you to join the discussion with us because I'm going to have another fun person here, and then we can all talk together. So also, did we talk about? Okay, good. Stay right there. Find a pillow. Get something else to drink. There was an author named Brett Wright that was on here recently. I think he left some burritos. We didn't ask him to bring them, but God knows what you're going to find in the cushions here, so just be careful. Or it might have been Rick Cornell. He's also an attorney out in Vegas, so you never know. You never know. Just be careful. But we talk about success and talking about doing things. You know, there's a guy also that I met that that's Madame Perry. His name is Brett DeHoag, and his last name is spelled D-E-H-O-A-G. And Brett says he wants you to stop living your fears and start living your dreams and take that leap of faith today. In fact, he is willing to even give a free coaching session, a free success coaching session. And all you have to do is go to his website, and it's www.brettdehoag, brettdehoag.com. And as I said, he'll give you a free success coaching session. You look at his site. He's got information about himself, books to read, things that you can do. It's a free motivational, inspirational coaching session. So you'll get 30 minutes of success coaching to live your dreams instead of your fears. He's ready to help you out, and he says good things happen to those who act. Brett DeHoag. Now, I've got another pal that comes on here a lot. His name is, well, actually, he's never been on here, but he's been promoted on here a lot. Are you a pool player, Susie, or
yes,
Scott?
Yes, I'm not very good at
pool.
I'm not very good at it, but yeah, I do play. Okay.
How about you, Scott? You play pool?
I do. Again, like Susie, not very good at all.
Yeah, I'm not very good.
Okay. All right. Well, you've probably heard just a common pocket player, and my friend Larry, we know it's Boomer Brumley, and Larry, I think he's trying to get in here, but he's not here yet. Larry, pull up to the back door. We'll let you in. I'll get Mr. Sulu to go on break so you get in here. And before that, I also wanted to mention there was a book talked about last week. And the book was called Coin Man, Untold Conspiracy. Gave you the synopsis, kind of a surreal comedy adventure thing. The website is coinman, coinman.info. But I forgot last week to mention the name of the author. His name is Pawan Mishra. It's Pawan Mishra, Mishra. Pawan Mishra, and the book is Coin Man, an Untold Conspiracy. That's a kind of a strange, surreal comedy suspense thing. And let's see, where's my buddy? Come on, Boomer. If you're coming, come on in. Give us a call. You've got the number. We'll just bring you in whenever you get here. Now, Susie Parker.
I'm still here.
Tell us more. Susie, I've got to ask you a question. How did you become known as a scholar of Duran Duran?
Well, it's been 30 years in the making to become the scholar.
I see.
Joke that I have a PhD in Duran Duran studies.
Yeah.
I was 13 years old when Duran Duran first hit the scene, and I immersed myself deeply into the world of Duran Duran. I was in love with Simon Le Bon, the lead singer. I was going to marry him until he ended up marrying a supermodel. Broke my heart. I've never gotten over it. But he's made up for it because he follows me on Twitter. So that kind of makes up for actually marrying him.
Yeah.
And so years of being a Durani, I call myself a Duran Duran scholar. And I probably know way too much about that band for my own good.
Well, you know what, Susie? I've read that there was even a few years back, there was a professor, I think this is probably in California, who has a course in film studies on Keanu Reeves. So why couldn't you have
Duran Duranology in colleges? That could be my gig, yeah.
What do you
think
about...
Or 80s music as a whole, but Duran Duran, like, is my specialty.
I know, me too. Scott, do you like 80s music?
I do. I'm a child of the 70s, but obviously the 80s music made huge impacts on my life, for sure.
All right. Who was your favorite?
Well, see, I come from a very mixed bag. I think, as you and I have talked in the past, my family owns Tootsie's here in Nashville. So my dad was a bluegrass blues singer. My mother was into Motown. My sister was into heavy metal, so I had a whole mix. I was into jazz and all of it. Tend to lean more towards the R&B genre growing up because it just spoke to me a little bit more. Michael Jackson, huge influence on me. And then Muddy Waters was a huge influence on me growing up. So you've got a unique, eclectic mix there.
That sounds like a good, well-rounded education or background. Now, Susie. How do you feel about Janelle Monáe with Duran Duran?
Janelle Monáe, well, yeah, that's a curious thing. Strange enough, I saw Janelle Monáe before she ever broke at Bonnaroo back in, gosh, like 2009. I saw her in a tent. She was like a special guest, like promoted at a Rolling Stone party I went to. Rolling Stone magazine had her at this party that, ironically, I ended up at. Much like Echo, I end up in strange situations that I never expected to be in. And she performed, and I saw her perform. It was a rainstorm, and the rain was, you know, pushing in. It was this horrible storm that had come through, and she was playing in this tent, and it was leaking, but she just kept performing, and she was very much like Prince. I mean, when I saw her perform, I kind of thought, this woman is going to break out and be a huge star. And sure enough, she has been. And then, you know, years later, she connects with Duran Duran. And so I like Janelle Monáe. I love Duran Duran. But somehow them together, I don't like so much. That's my confession. It's something about it. I'm just kind of like, I don't know if it gels, you know. So
Susie,
I know
Susie.
Other Durannies really love it. But
is this
know.
An artistic thing or is this personal?
I think it's artistic for me, actually.
Okay.
I think it's artistic. I think it's an artistic thing for me. I think it's not personal because I've collaborated with other people, and I've kind of thought, oh, that's brilliant. But that collaboration and that song, I don't know. I get it because Nile Rodgers is a big Janelle Monáe supporter and record producer, and he also has deep roots into Duran Duran land. So I get why it happened. But the song is not, I can't say it's one of my favorite Duran Duran songs. I don't hate it, but I'm just like, okay, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I love Janelle Monáe solo. I love her. I think she's brilliant, and I think she's a genius.
Well, at least you got to see her live.
I did, and it was amazing. It was amazing.
I wanted
and it was
to.
When she was first starting out. So she was, you know, giving it her all. Not that, I'm sure she gives it her all in every performance, but this was just, you know, you saw this raw young talent and you just knew, it was one of those things like she will make it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she has, yeah. And I love the commercial that she has right now. I think it's for Coke, maybe, for Coca-Cola. It's through the ages. She starts off like she's kind of Madonna-like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She segues in. I think it's for maybe
Pepsi Coke. Yeah.
One of those. And I think that's brilliant. It's just with Duran Duran. I'm like, I don't know about that song, but they didn't ask me, so. They should have, since I'm a scholar, but they didn't.
They should have asked you. You should have been. See, this is what we've got to do. That's why you need a publicist. And I happen to know a very good publicist to promote you as a Duran scholar so that you will be consulted on such.
See, it's such important matters. That's right.
Just in case you need a publicist. Wink, wink. We've had a lot of wink, wink in this show.
Yes, I like wink, wink.
But I still want to see her, and I came very close. There was one night when I had a gig with a keyboard player, just me and him, at a place near Centennial Park. The next night, she was at the Rialto, but Todd Rundgren, whom I love and who I've never, never missed Todd Rundgren, was at the Variety Playhouse. I thought, oh, my God, but I never missed Todd. But I've seen Todd about 20, 30 times, and there's Janelle Monáe. What do I do? What do I do? And then, did you see Todd when he did Rick Ocasek's part in The New Cars?
I did not. I missed that.
Did you see that, Scott?
I did not. I have read about it, but I've wanted to see that. I've heard it's amazing.
I saw the show live. Of course, he had Prairie Prince and Chasm Sultan. You know, Prairie Prince from The Tubes that plays with Todd. But anyway, so I was trying to decide. Janelle Monáe, Todd Rundgren, so tough. But it also happened that we had some kind of water pipe break in the front yard. My husband had a hole dug about 3 feet deep, and he's down there trying to fix this thing. And I thought, I know if I wanted to go, he'd say go. But I thought, when your husband's in the front yard at night trying to fix that, I just couldn't. No matter how much I love Todd, no matter how much I wanted to see Janelle, I figured my place was there in the mud, in the rain, and it was raining. My place was there with my man, helping him out.
That's admirable.
Yeah, well, he's a good man.
And that's loyalty. Yeah, that's loyalty.
He's a good man. So if I don't do it, who knows who might sneak up and try to grab him. Anyway, we were talking about playing pool, weren't we?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Somewhere we were talking
about pool. And neither one of us are very good at it. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
But there's a friend of Madame Perry's Salon, a good friend. Some people call him Larry. We call him Boomer Brumley. And thank goodness Sulu's on break, so he snuck in the door. Boomer, come on in.
Hey, how are we doing, Madam Perry?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, not too good. I'm sitting here. My Internet Explorer went down, so I'm basically I'm fighting my computer trying to listen to you and trying to talk to you, and I'm fighting Facebook. Basically, I'm having computer issues, but I made sure I got through tonight.
Well, we're starting to hear you've had issues. I can hear it in the background, so you might want to.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. My volume's even fighting me too. So this is not a very good night.
Oh, well, I'm very sorry to hear that. But you're here now, thank you.
Uh-huh.
And
no problem.
I want you to tell us who, for the people who don't know, although a lot of people that are regular listeners know who you are, tell us what Common Pocket Player Network is.
Common Pocket Player Network was based on my father. He loved the game of pool and Q Sports and all that, and. Hold on, I'm trying to put the volume down. Like you see all these professionals and all that play, he had to have a job, a daytime job and stuff like that. You can't make a living at doing that kind of sport and all that. But so basically, it looks at the sport, the Q Sport, the promotion of Q Sports, and basically everyday life. And basically based it on my father, and the network is basically a
Okay.
Social media.
Boom. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
And
tell, last time we were talking about the Bard Mall. It's B-A-R-R-E-D. What is the Bard Mall?
Believe it or not, that's kind of an oxymoron. the word Bard, the word Bard means to be excluded from an area, to be taken out. You know, it's like you would, I don't know you personally, but if you would walk into a bar and start something, you know, a fight or something like that, then the owners and the ownership would basically kick you out, you know, bar you. You're barred from here. So basically it's kind of a oxymoron of, hey, here's a place where you're not barred from. The mall is basically like any kind of mall in America that you would go to. You know, you walk in there and you got your food court, and you have your fashion and your women's. You might have your arcade. You know, it's basically like a it's like a mall. Well, I named it the Bard Mall because basically any kind of business is allowed in the mall.
But
you know,
it's online.
Like
it's a virtual mall, isn't it?
It's a virtual mall. Right now, we're up to about 125 businesses.
Nice.
Which range, and it keeps growing every day. And it ranges from, basically the stores I've been talking about. You know, we got, you know, you go on Facebook, you play the Facebook games. A lot of people do that. Well, this mall has that. You know, say that you, you know, want something like a Star Wars T-shirt or, you know, our superhero T-shirt. Well, you know, there's those kind of stores there, too. I added one store to it yesterday, which, you know, might blow some people's mind. It is it's called Maine Lobster Now, and it is what it sounds like. It's the state of Maine. They're really famous for their lobster, and they will ship it to you.
Ooh.
From Maine. And it's basically in the food court. And, of course, we have a jewelry store. We have a food court, electronics, you know, media. We have one called the newsstand. You know, so many different things like that.
Yeah. I think I was reading a lot of them last time. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And so,
it's your show.
No, but I'm glad to have you here, and I want to hear from you, because last week I was talking about it, and while we were talking, I was reading some of the stores off of the webpage. But people can also advertise on there too, right?
Right. You know, we got really cheap advertising, and some change a month, and then I offer it every 3 months. Which is $27, and if you do the math, overall you're saving about $5 doing it that way. And then I offer a year subscription, and that is about $108.25, and you're saving about $20, a little over $20. And what you get is, you basically, it doesn't matter if you have a website or you basically have a page on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. But you basically put your your logo up or your advertising of your business. You give us a description, you know, the history or whatever you want. And basically what people do is they click on that icon and they go straight to your website, straight to your business, instead of going through us. It's not like me trying to sell your product. It's basically they come on there with all these other stores. It's one site to buy everything, you know, and basically you just go to what you want, click on the picture, and bam, they're right to your link or website.
All right,
but
maybe I should do that.
But you know, we got, you know, the sky's the limit on the Bard Mall, because you know, when it comes to pool and Q sports, we're dealing with basically one topic. But the Bard Mall is basically any kind of business, you know, anybody has, and it's a great business for somebody who does home, you know, does crafts at home or whatever, and just wants to go to the next level to what you see by some of the stores we have on there are Fortune 500 companies, you know. And
yeah,
like I said, the advertising speech, we have something called, it's called the Street Fair Screamer. Basically, it's just almost like Facebook and like Twitter, but you're going through Skype, and it's basically group sessions and all that, and it's sectioned off by the continents that, you know, that we have on this wonderful planet of Earth. You know, there's one main one. It's called the world, you know, worldwide, and, you know, we're trying to grow that. And then, of course, the seven continents. You know, say that you want to promote your business over in Europe. You know, that option is there, too.
I like it. I like that a lot.
It's basically a great promotional tool for small businesses and all that. And we're trying to grow that, because I think I heard when my computer wasn't screwing up, something about politics and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you can grow, you can help grow businesses and all that. That helps the economy. That's why you see a lot of cities, individual cities and all that say, hey, shop here first, you know, some small towns, shop here first instead of going to a bigger market. Even though you're spending a little extra, you're helping the economy. You're helping that city grow.
Yeah, that's why I have a Facebook page called Made in the USA, where I put up things, any products I can find that are made in the USA, because it's very important to me. And if I have to pay a little extra, that's fine. But, you know, to keep some jobs here. Well, you know what, Larry Boomer, I am so thrilled that you're here. So just hang out here. I got just a few minutes left. So while we're still here, I want to get back to Susie Parker. Susie Parker, author of Echo Ellis, Adventures of a Girl Reporter. Susie, where are you going to be soon? Where can people find your book?
They can find it on Amazon, on Kindle. If you have Kindle Prime, it's free if you subscribe to that service. You can download it to your Kindle. It's also a signed copy is available through me on Facebook. I self-published this book. My other two books, Sex in the South and 1,000 Best Bartender Recipes, were published by traditional publishers, but I decided to do this one myself because I had offers from New York, but they wanted me to make Echo more girly, and I was kind of adamant about my character. So I self-published it, and you can check me out on my Facebook author page, too. It's Facebook Susie Parker.
That's what I like.
And
you did it your way.
I did. And there'll be lots of signings coming up in Arkansas in May and June, and then hopefully branching out in different parts of the South after that.
I hope so. Come on down south. Okay, so your other books are Sex in the South and what was the other, 1,000 Bartender?
1,000 Best Bartender Recipes.
A thousand
of them. You can drink for years on that book.
Yeah.
All right. It'll take you for about 3 years to drink one a day.
Ooh.
I know.
Challenge.
Did you test all the recipes?
Challenge. No. No, I'm not a huge. Ironically, I'm not a huge drinker.
You make your
like
mother
beer.
Test them all?
No, she's definitely not a big drinker. But I do collect vintage. I went to bartending school and I collect vintage cocktail recipes. Although I don't really, I'm more curious about the mixology of it than the actual drinking of it. So I'm more of a beer drinker kind of girl.
Yeah, I was a guest bartender one night at a restaurant in Atlanta, and I'm not a drinker either. I had no idea what I was doing, but I just thought it would be fun to do because they were having what they called, like, local celebrity bartenders, and I guess they couldn't find a celebrity, so they let me do it one night, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I felt kind of like a scientist, you know, just kind of mixing around stuff. Yeah, I like that part. I feel like I should have a lab coat. All right, well, so far we've had tonight, folks, Brett DeHoag, BRETTDEHOAG.com. Go to him and get his get one free success for life coaching session from him. He's a fantastic guy. Also, my good friend Scott Mosley with his podcast, Exposing Real Estate at Damn Near Anything Else. He's right. Scott, thanks for hanging out with us here, and I hope you'll come back sometime. My dear friend and supporter of Madame Perry's Salon for a long time, you know we love you, Larry Boomer Brumley, and the Common Pocket Player Network, the Bard Mall, BARREDMALL. Check it out. I told you about it last week. I put it up on all the stuff I'm going to be put up on the Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook. Susie Parker, she writes for The Economist, Christian Science Monitor, Daily Beast, Salon.com, Huffington Post. Who else, Susie? Where else can we find your
That may run the gamut, yes. My next expose, well, I'm actually working on a collection of essays that I hope to have out in June, so that might be my next big endeavor. That is my next big endeavor. I have self-imposed deadlines on it.
All right. And two, and also, remember, I still have Promote This DIY Publicity Seminars or Webinars for Authors that I do with my company, Lone Wolf. Let me teach you how to promote your own book, even if you can't afford a publicist. Thank you all so much. Larry Brumley, Scott Mosley.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Susie Parker.
Thank you, Mary.
You're fantastic. Susie, are you going to come back?
I am, definitely. Have me back. I love it. I love it here.
Susie, you know I will. You know I'm crazy about you. So, and I love, love, love Echo Ellis so much.
Well,
so get the book,
Thank
Echo
you for
Ellis.
Supporting her. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, everyone. And I think the only way to end this is to play a song by my good friend Elizabeth Elkins. If you don't know her name, you've probably heard her music on shows like Rescue Me, movie Mean Girls, and stuff like that. And this is one of her songs called Sex and the Drugs. This is Madame Perry signing off. And Susie Parker, good night.